Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Indeed, He is great. Our God is great. I'd like to wish you all a very good morning. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the deacons in the church, and I'm also in charge of Sunday school. So you're going to get a lot of Sunday school notices today. I have got a notice to start off with, and then we're going to pray, and I'll give the other notices. Just to let you know the sad news that George Myatt passed away this last week. If you could all keep Doreen and family in prayers. God knows who they are, even if you haven't met her yet. Doreen is a regular member of our church service, so please just remember Doreen in prayers. Her husband, George, passed away. So let us pray. Mighty God, we thank you that you are great indeed. And you're a great God to wake up in the morning to come and serve and praise you. Whatever we have gone through today, Lord, we know we are in the right place to praise and to worship you. And we thank you that even before we woke up, you were already here to meet us. So we glorify and exalt your name, O Lord. Whatever we are going through, Lord, we know this is a good place to be. A good place to receive the strength we need and the love that we might be looking for. We praise you this morning, O God. And we say throughout this whole service, right from the beginning, throughout the whole thing, Lord, be lifted up. May your name be glorified. Because great are you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Our God is indeed great. And he is a wonderful God. I'm going to do things a little bit differently. But if you know me, you know that's not unusual. So we're going to have notices first. Going to have the birthday box, a couple of songs, prayers, then another song, we'll get rid of the kids, and then we'll sing another song. Nathan's going to come and talk to us about packing Jesus for holiday or preparing a holiday with Jesus, something along those lines. I'm sure he'll be clearer than I am. Just want to encourage all the men in the house. They had a meeting on July the 27th. And that went really, really well. It went so well, they want to have another one. And that's going to be sometime in September. So please do watch the notice sheets. If you came in early enough to have a notice sheet, the sermon notes, you will find at the back of it upcoming events. And that's where that is. I know somebody is new to our church today. So I'm trying to give a very thorough breakdown of what we do and how we do it. For any men that you want to invite, any friends that you want to let know about the men's fellowship and contact numbers, Nathan has got some printed business cards fit nicely into your wallet, and I'm sure he'll be happy to give you for yourself or for other men if you would like to collect that from him. Food bank are really low at the moment. There's a Swale food bank that operates from Sittingbourne, and our church is part of the food bank hub. Their supplies are really low at the moment, and if you can spare a few pennies, please do ask Bev. Bev normally knows what they need. It's usually tinned goods, pasta, stuff that have a very long shelf life. So please do give generously. You can do that by dropping off. There's a box outside the kitchen when you go into the lounge, and you can drop off from there. In our service, we do not pass around a plate for communion, for offering, that's the one. If you do want to give into what the church is doing, there's a box at the front of the church and a box over there just before we go in for teas and coffees. Teas and coffees are on this week because the heating, I know. The heating that was being installed over the last 2 weeks, that's all ticked, every box ticks, everything checked, all the doing good has been done good, so it should all look amazing. And come October, when the winter starts creeping in, we'll be really glad that the heating has been put in. Just a little note from me to say that the church has paid for the heating to be done and installed. It's taken out of the coffers that the church holds. So our treasurer, she's not quaking in her boots, but you know, she would like that money put back. So if anybody wants to give generously to the heating fund, it's still ongoing. We did have a special collection day for it, but it's still ongoing. If you feel led to give or have a few extra pennies to give into that, please do. I know there are no bans of marriage to be read out. Apparently, that's not done anymore. I was really looking forward to saying the bans of marriage for Nathan Gordon and Anna Serena Bird, but I don't get to do that, unfortunately. I don't have to do the official speak because it's probably done online now. You know what? Everything is done online. But just to say that Nathan and Anna's wedding is coming up, so please do remember them in your prayers. I just feel that it's a time of transition, a lot of things changing. I know Anna's moved house already. She's moved closer. She's not moved in yet. She's moved closer. And we thank God for that. She's changed jobs. A lot of changes going on in their lives. And it's just a time to be a blessing and to send prayers into that space to say, as these changes are happening, let God be the one to cement the gap together and unite them. So we really appreciate that. Look out at the back and for the diary dates of what you can get involved in. I think there was a special plea for cakes for the Saturday one, the Tuesday, there'll be tea and cakes after the official marriage ceremony. So please do bake a cake or two or five if you're of that talent. And please do give that in. I just wanted to explain about creche and Sunday school. So we have a creche for really young kids under the age of 4 that haven't started school. And that's run by our lovely volunteers. Everybody's DBS checked. If anyone comes in late with their children, please do direct them to the right places for their children's age group. So creche is before they start school. Parents can stay with their children if they wish to. If they want to drop your children and go off, that's absolutely fine. We just ask that you sit upstairs so that we can get you easily without disrupting the service or anyone else. And then the next age group is those in primary school. They go to Ignite, and that's upstairs. If your children do go with the modes of children when they leave, that's absolutely fine, but you need to pick them up yourself. If your children are in primary school, please go up to the room over there and pick them up after the service, because they will not just come to you. You have to come and pick them up yourself. And then the last age group, which is the teenagers in high school, they go downstairs to the basement for their classes, and they will come and find you. You don't have to worry about them. They will come and find you after the service, so you can enjoy a cup of tea and coffee, and they will come upstairs when they have been released. I think that's all my notices. Can't think of anything else. That was quite a lot. So, having said all that, we also have a church magazine. I know there are only a few left because this is an August one, but also lots more dates, lots more information. Do try and nab one if you can. And if you don't, come and get mine, because I've already got my own copy. I just wanted that one to show you. Holiday Club is happening. If I don't say it, Daniela will really have a go. Holiday Club will be starting on the 21st, which is next Monday, not tomorrow, next Monday. Holiday Club starts. Thank you for all the volunteers who put their names down. It's free this year. Nobody needs to pay anything to attend for the 2 hours between 10 and 12 o'clock. You can literally come and leave children, and we'll look after them. Songs, dancing, painting, all sorts of craft has been prepared. But if they are under 4, you will have to stay with them. But we do provide teas and coffees and cake, so it's not a bad place to be for a couple of hours. And we will teach your children about the word of the Lord. A lot of preparation has gone into that. Prayers for that, always appreciated. Okay, I'm done. But we're not done praising and worshiping God. While we're still talking about children, can I ask the all-important question, but wait for it. Adults, has anybody had a birthday? Because I always feel you get left out. Has anybody had a birthday this week or about to have a birthday before next Sunday? Ah! Dennis, you! Excellent, excellent. It's Dennis's birthday. Happy birthday. Sweet 16 again? Yes. Excellent. Right. Any children have a birthday in the week that's gone by or the week to come? Any children? No. No hands. Nobody running. So the birthday box, which I was going to invite you to come and take from, will remain closed for the rest of the... Right, okay, now we are really going to give our all in praising, worshiping, and appreciating God, because we are all his children. We are all children of God, and whatever you've come in with, whatever you've gone through in the week, I pray that this morning God will touch you in a special way, that you will open your heart to receive from him, because he has laid out a lovely feast in praise and worship, in whatever things you need, wherever your gaps are in your life. If you need any resources, if you need strength, God is available for us today. So please open your heart to receive from him directly. Don't look at me, don't look at the rest of us. Receive from God. Right, our first song is going to be a hymn that I grew up loving a lot, and I make my children sing it with me. It's Morning Has Broken. And then after that, we will sing, I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart. We are already in the throne room of God right now, so we can ask anything we want. If you can, please stand and sing with us these lovely songs.
Grace for the sea.
has made me glad. Hasn't he made you glad? Let us lift our voices to tell the Lord how he has made me glad. Lord, you woke me up this morning. You gave me breath in my lungs, Lord. You blessed me with a heartbeat this morning. I praise you. You have made me glad. You have given me cause to rejoice, O Lord. Even looking at the sunshine with the occasional clouds, I declare you have made me glad. You have made me glad in my problems and my troubles through the week, O God. You have made me glad when I felt tired. Lord, you have made me glad when you gave me that strength to carry on. I didn't stop on Monday or Tuesday, but here I am on Sunday, Lord, alive and healthy to glorify your name, to declare that indeed you have made me glad. Oh, Lord God, you are so good to me. You watch over me. Lord, you bless me. You keep me. All my relatives are well. All my friends around me, Lord, show me so much love. You have made me glad. It is by your hand, O God, that people have been so generous to me. People have loved me so much, O God. I praise your name. You have made me glad. You have made me glad, Lord, even though one of my friends has broken her arm. She is still in church today with a cast on her hand. Lord, you have made me glad. Father, you have made me glad in celebrating Dennis and his birthday. Lord, whatever day it is, Lord, you will make him glad. Because you make everything well. Lord, I praise and exalt your name because you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me personally. Lord, you called me by name out of a world of sin and you have made me glad. You have made me glad to come into your house today, Lord, to bless and glorify your name, to exalt you in the heavens, to add my voice up with the angels, oh Lord, and declare that you are good. You are good all the time, Lord. Father, I praise you and I exalt you because everything that is needed in my life, Lord, you provide. Even though I can't see it all the time, even though I don't know it, Lord, you provide it. You have made me glad. You have made me glad, oh Lord, when I feel tired and weary, but you have made me glad. I praise and exalt your name, oh God. I glorify your name. Hasn't he made you glad? Think or say something to the Lord. Think or say it. You don't have to say it out loud. He can hear you. Say something to the Lord about how he has made you glad. What has he done for you? He gave you everything, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord. Please take your seats. Thank you, Lord. We do adore you. We worship and adore you this morning. Ah, wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing out your strong voices this morning. That sounded amazing. So this is the time when I get to share a little something that the Lord has been laying on my heart. And I've asked for Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I had a bit of a senior moment when I was thinking about this verse, and I knew it. I knew the verse I wanted to, and I knew it. And I was like, where is it in the Bible? Where is it? And I was thinking, it's not in the New Testament. I knew that. And I was like, it's such a common verse. And I know this verse. Where is it? And I was like, Joshua, which is why I probably wrote Joshua for Peter at the end. So I was right with the first letter. But it's in Jeremiah chapter 29. And I remembered, and I was so glad I didn't have to Google it, because it would have been like, Sunday school teacher, such shame, not even able to remember one verse. We don't do memory verses in Sunday school, but I tell you what, the memory verses I have from childhood, they still lay on my heart. And kids, you need to give yourself a memory verse if we don't give you one, because it really does help you. So I was looking at this very, very common verse, and I was like, you know, Lord, you know, I've heard so many sermons on it, and probably, you know, milked it to death and all this. And some of you may know that I do like things to be in control. I do like to have control of my life, to know what's going on, where exactly are we going. Not as much as one of my children, but who really, really, really wants to know. But I like to have a rough idea of what's going on. And if I can have the steering wheel, I'm really, really happy. And I don't know if this speaks to anybody else in the house, whether anybody else is like that personality, where you do want to know what's going on. And my life has taken a couple of turns lately where I do not know what's going on. And I haven't liked it very much. And God was saying to me, but I know the plans I have for you. And I was like, well, you know, that's great, Lord, for you, but I want to know. Can I know a little bit? And he says, there are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And when I thought I knew what I was doing, I was trying to lead in a certain way, and it wasn't working. And then God said, he kept saying, I know the plans I have for you. And I was like, yeah, but we're going this way. And he was like, I know the plans. And I'm like, oh. So I've come to a point in my life where I know that I know that I know that I know that I know he knows the plans. I don't need to know the plans. I just need to go when he says go. I need to do what he says to do. And I need to do it in the way he says to do it. I've never been happier. Honestly, I've just recently turned 50, I don't mind telling you, and you've never seen a happier 50-year-old, you know? 50 was so nice, I might come again next year, you know, it might be. But I can't even wait for my next big birthday. I can't wait. My next big birthday is 51. And I can't wait, because God says he knows the plans he has for me. I don't know what it looks like. I really, really don't, but I don't need to. Because those plans are going to prosper me and not harm me. And they're going to give me a hope and a future. That's all I need to know. He's got this. He's got the steering wheel. He's got the plans. He's got it all laid out. And he's up there looking down and saying, right, take a left here. I'll just take a left. I won't think I want it to go straight. No, I'll just take a left. And I don't know whether that says anything to anyone, but he's got you. Amen. And he's got every area of your life. And whatever hardship may come along, even Doreen, with her husband having recently passed away, he's got her. And that's my prayer, that God will have you and show you that he has you. And you don't need to worry, because it's a waste of time and energy. And on that note, I would like to pray for the kids before they go off to their groups. For parents who haven't been here before, I can see a few of you. Please just let them go with somebody who looks about the same height, the same age. They will be led in the right place. There are teachers that will go out with them and catch them and lead them in the right direction. But remember that the younger ones in that room, Ignite, those in primary school, you need to go and pick them up, please. because we've had a few kids that were like, where are your parents? They need to come and get you. So let's pray for the kids before they go. Heavenly Lord, we just thank you for these precious children you've put into this church. And we pray that today, Lord God, they will get a special touch from you. And not only that, Lord, but it'll be something that will last, that they will remember, and that they will learn from. And Father, we pray that they will have fun, fellowship, and that they will enjoy learning about you. And Father, we just pray for the teachers as well, that you will help them, Lord, to get something from you as they are ministering to these children. In all these things, Almighty God, we pray that your name will be glorified and that they will continue to enjoy their holiday in safety. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, kids, you can go to your groups. Oh, such enthusiasm. Making it. There are loads of them upstairs. There's, you know, some of them are running, and the older ones are just lulling along like that. I'm too cool for school. But yeah, we get about 50 children go through the Sunday school on a really, really busy week. And it's school holidays, so I'm surprised there's so many. But we decided a few years ago to keep Sunday school going through the school holidays. So even if we had 5 kids instead of 15, we would still provide for those that are still in the area. And of course, we've got holiday clubs. So Nathan is going to come and talk to us very shortly. But before he does, I just want us to sing one more song. And you can sit as we sing this. It's called You Deserve the Glory. I know it was new to a few of us, but I'm hoping that you'll be able to pick it up quite quickly. Yeah, I know. Started finding it.
Why don't we just rest in his presence now before we have our Bible reading? Let's just pause in the stillness of God's presence. His presence is here to comfort, to guide, to encourage, to uplift. Let's rest in his presence now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes, my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Open the eyes. Open the eyes
of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Let's say it again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open. Open.
Open the
yes.
Eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes.
Thank you, God.
Of my heart.
I want to see
you.
We want to see you. We want to see you. Less of us, more of you. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you. I want to see you.
I want to see you.
And where do we want to see him? To see him high. Yes. Shining in the light.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Yes,
pour out your surrender.
As we sing holy.
As we sing holy, 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 holy.
Holy,
holy, holy, holy.
I want to see
you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to see you, Lord. High and lifted up. We want to see you. Well, greetings to you all in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here and to worship with you this morning. And as we continue our sermon series, new sermon series that we started last week, it's time to rest. It's time to rest. And today I'm going to call your attention to the gospel according to Mark. The gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, as we read here from God's word. Mark 6 from verse number 7. And we're going to read to verse 13. And then we're going to jump to verse 30. And it reads like this. Mark chapter 6, verse number 7. It says, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place. and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil, and they healed them. Then we're going to come to verse number 30. And it says, and this is after they were sent out two by two, doing the work of the Lord. But in verse 30 now, we see the disciples come back to Jesus to give a report of all that they were doing. And it says in verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, that being Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The disciples were busy doing the work that Jesus had called them to do. They were witnesses of many miracles. Many impure spirits were driven out of the regions and out of people. And now Jesus says, it's time for a holiday. It's time to get away because you've been working hard. You deserve a well-earned break. Come and relax. You've been working hard. But let's now take a look at the type of holiday that the disciples enjoyed. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. But by this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him, and this is what they had to say. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was about 5,000. Amen. Have you booked your summer holiday with Jesus? Have you booked your summer holiday with Jesus? Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. And now we ask that your holy word would permeate, would inspire our hearts to action. Lord, would you minister to each and every one of us now? And when it's all said and done, will you receive the glory, the honor, and the praise? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask AV to put on the screen the first slide there of some pictures. If you can go to the next slide. I want to ask you all some questions. Do you see that lovely, beautiful picture? I want you to raise your hand if that looks like an ideal holiday destination for you. How many of you would choose this as a place for rest? Interesting. Now let's go to the next one. What about this one? Who would choose this as a place to unwind? I see Sula up there. Interesting. What about the next one? Does that look like rest to you? What about the next one? But you see, it's amazing just through this short exercise that it's abundantly clear that there's more than one way in which we can find rest and rejuvenation. Last week, we looked at the importance of resting in the stillness of God's presence. We looked at the Lord's invitation to us, his people, his children, to not only find rest, but to find God rest. We looked at the importance of God rest. However, at the scene of our text this morning, we also learn that rest can also be found not just by sitting poolside with a cool beverage in the hand and a nice umbrella for shade. We can find rest not just through having a few extra hours of sleep in the bed, not just find rest through a nice luxurious holiday destination, the likes of which we were able to see on the screen. Maybe an all-inclusive holiday package, pampered to your heart's content. But church, we also see a wonderful example here in Mark chapter 6, that the disciples of the Lord Jesus were inspired and they were recharged, not just through taking it easy, but we learn, church, that rest is also achievable and attainable through dedicated serving and action. Now, you may be wondering in the corner of your minds, hold on a minute, Nathan. I thought you told us last week that we ought to take it easy sometimes. I thought that you told us that being busy does not necessarily mean that we are productive. I thought this whole series would be about encouraging us to slow down. Put the brakes on our lives. Well, yes, that is important, absolutely. I do believe that we ought to find rest through the stillness and through periods of slowing down and recognizing within ourselves the need and when our body does need rest and we need to slow down. And of course, we looked again last week at spending time with our families. That is important. But the key word that I believe is important for us to grasp throughout this series, it's the word that's so important to us. It's finding balance. Finding balance. Because effective rest is attainable through the implementation of our lives of finding balance. And just like the exercise at the beginning of this sermon, yes, rest can be found through peace and through quiet, but rest and rejuvenation and inspiration can also be found through adventure and through mission. It's almost like, can you imagine if we were to take a group of primary school children and we said, for your summer holidays, you have the choice of two alternatives. Number one, we can take you to a nice, luxurious beachside holiday, and there's going to be no activities for the week. It's just going to be about chilling, relaxing, having food and just chillaxing for the week. But the second alternative is you can now go on an exploration, adventure. Each day will be packed with activities that will inspire you. You'll have so much fun. Oh, it's going to be great. Each day is going to be different. Now, I'm no betting man, but I would be positive to go with the fact that the children would more than likely choose the second option. Because children, they yearn and they desire for excitement. They yearn for adventure. They're not too inspired by just being still, peace and quiet. But they want to find out new things. They want to explore. They're inspired by adventure. And church, I believe it's important for us, not only as Christians, but collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we always recognize that the church is about mission. The church of the Lord Jesus is one of activity. The church of the Lord Jesus has never been designed to be dormant and to be boring and to sit on our laurels. But the church of the Lord Jesus is about action. It's about exploring the perfect will of God for his church. It's about the church being a positive impact in the community in which we serve. That the very fact that the church exists in this community of Sittingbourne, along with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in our neighboring churches, it lets us know that we are here not just to sit on our hands, but we are here to evoke positive action in this community. In other words, the very fact that we are here and we exist today is for action. And you and I have been called by the Messiah, just like the disciples in Mark chapter 6, who were sent out two by two to go and do the work of Jesus Christ. You and I are called today, here in 2023, to serve the mission of Jesus Christ. It's important that we engage with this mission. It's important that we take to heart the severity of this mission, because lives are depending on this mission. Jesus, on his short time on earth, many believe around 33 and a half years, Jesus was about action. Going about to and fro, doing the work that his Father had called him to do. He says, I must be about my Father's business. He was all about impacting every town, every village with the good news of the kingdom. So as we examine rest in our personal lives, and in particular collectively as a church this morning, I believe this wonderful story here in Mark chapter 6, it teaches us, number one, here it is, that it's possible to find rest through serving. It's possible to find rest through serving. Now, author and Christian leader Wayne Muller, he quotes in his book, he says, as we serve others, we are working on ourselves. Every act, every word, every gesture of genuine compassion naturally nourishes our hearts as well. It is not a question of who is healed first, but when we attend to ourselves with compassion and mercy, more healing is made available to others. And And when we serve the needs of others with an open and a generous heart, great healing also comes to us. I love this because as Christians, we serve the mission of Christ in our community and in our world, but although hard work is connected to the mission of Christ and to the mission, there is also the divine blessing of peace and inspiration that comes through serving the needs of others. And through fulfilling the mission of Christ in his world, you and I can find rest in our souls. It's almost like whenever you can look back over your lives and you think about the times where you were able to be a blessing to someone else, you were able to help someone who was in need, you were able perhaps to help someone out in a tricky situation. Not only do you provide a well-needed blessing for the person you are helping, but it also leaves you feeling blessed that you were able to be a blessing to someone else. It gives you a sense of peace and joy and fulfillment that the Lord used you to be of help and assistance to someone else. I never forget about a few years ago, it was during the lockdown period. Restrictions had lightly been lifted, and I was very busy at the time doing one of my essays at Spurgeon's College. And I was busy, you know, early in the morning working through this essay, and around lunchtime I said, you know what, let me go out for a walk, let me put some music on and let me just get out, get some fresh air. So I did that, and as I was walking, you know, throughout Rochester down the town, and I noticed this woman, and she looked very distressed, and got my music on, so I can't really hear what's going on. I'm just focused on my walk, and just because I'm busy and I'm thinking about my essay. But I noticed this woman. I couldn't help but notice this woman. She was going around just talking with people, and it looked like she was needing help, needing assistance. And you know, in my flesh, I just wanted to just walk by. And then the excuses started to come in my mind. I'm busy. I've got things to do. I need to get back to do my essay. I just wanted to pop out for just a moment of peace, just to be able to listen to some music and walk. I ain't got time for this. But then as I walked by, I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Nathan, I want you to go back and find that woman. Excuses started to come again. But I'm busy. I really ain't got time for this now. Lord said to me, stop and go back and find the woman. So I obeyed the Lord. I went back to find this woman. And she said to me, she's hungry. She hasn't had any food. And all she's looking for is a meal. So I said, come with me. We went to the local bakery shop, and I was able to buy her something to eat. Now, I share this with you not to big myself up, because it's not about sharing the kind acts that we do. It's all about God using us. But I share it because I had my own excuses at first to be a help to this lady. Everything was going through my mind. I'm too busy. I can't stop. Got things to do. But do you know something, church? After I was able to help this lady, the peace that came over me, the joy that came over me to know that I was able just to be a blessing to this woman in her time of need, that bit of joy and peace that came in that moment far exceeded the walk and the listening of my music that it could ever do. Because when we fulfill the mission of Christ in our lives and in this community, God blesses us with a peace that surpasses all understanding. So yes, you may be busy. Yes, you may be preoccupied with all of the tasks that you have to do. But oh, if you would engage in the kingdom of God, Oh, if you would just take some time out to serve the mission of Christ and to look out for the needs in the community, then God, even in that moment of serving, will bless you with a peace that you would not find anywhere else. Because peace, and yes, rest, can come through serving. I love that there on quote I found online. It says, ministry is not a job or a Sunday routine. It's a privilege to be chosen and used by Jesus. Amen. When I think about the work of evangelists, when we pass by busy town centers and cities, and we see men and women out on the streets with placards, serving and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And often we think, wow, doesn't seem like much fruit is coming from this. People are just passing by, not paying them much attention. And oh, you pray that people would come to Christ and listen to the message. But sometimes it can be discouraging, Miles, as people just pass by and they're out there for hours on end. Come to know Jesus. Do you know the love of God for yourselves? But do you know, if you were to sit down and ask those people, why do you do it? Why do you give up your Saturday when you could be resting at home? You've been working all week. Why do you give up your time to hold up placards, to share the love of God when it seems like no one is listening? I believe the reason why they do it is because they find rest and peace in serving the mission of Christ. Their fulfillment comes not necessarily in the fruit and the response, but their rest comes in the joy of knowing that they are available to be used by God. So rest comes also through serving. Rest comes through being available to be used by God. And that's why I thank God for this church, that we have dedicated volunteers who serve and engage the mission of Christ. The food bank team, who give up their time to serve and look out for the needs of others. The contact center, who give up their time on a Saturday when they could be doing other things because they want to be a blessing to the children and to families. The shoeboxes ministry that we engage with as a church, even though we don't meet those whom we are preparing those boxes for. But to know that we can be a blessing to someone else, it gives us a sense of rest and joy and peace in our hearts. Compassion UK and the evangelism teams, the children's and the youth work volunteers, all those who serve in the church, we do so not because we necessarily want to do it all the time, but we recognize that there is peace and rest and joy through serving the mission of Christ. So rest comes through serving. But second and finally this morning, we also see that rest comes through resting in the power of God at work. Can we say that together? Rest in the power of God at work. Now, despite the disciples here in Mark 6, they were physically tired because of all of the work that they were engaged in. And Jesus recognized their weariness. He said, come with me to a quiet place. Come and get some rest. You have been toiling. You have been doing the work faithfully. And I want you to get away to a solitary place. You deserve a break. You deserve a holiday. But oh, we see that the crowd got wind that Jesus was in town. Because wherever Jesus would travel, there would be crowds of people interested in what he had to say. So despite the fact that the disciples were tired and weary, Jesus lets them know that we have to serve the needs of the people. We can't send them away to fend for themselves because they are like sheep without a shepherd. So I know you're on holiday. I know that it's time for you to rest in this solitary place. But now we have to respond to the needs of the people. And I want to encourage someone here today. You may have been in this church and in the kingdom for a long time. And perhaps you can look back over your lives and you can say, well, Nathan, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 15 years ago, I was busy. I was actively involved in the work of the ministry here in this church. And now I've reached a stage where I do feel a bit lethargic. I do feel tired. I do feel weary. I want to be engaged in the work of ministry as I used to, but I don't feel that I can do it anymore. But I want to encourage you. You may not be able to do everything that you did 15, 20 years ago, but God still has a purpose for your lives even today. God still has use and need of you to be a blessing to someone else. And through that act of serving, you can rest in the power of God at work. They were tired, they were weary, but they were also blessed by the Messiah who invited them to share and to be a blessing to those who were in need. Now, I want to close with this. I believe this is so important for the church today. Because not only do we find strength, rest and peace through serving others, but as a church, we are invigorated and inspired when we see God at work in the church. If you ever go to a church and for long periods of time, years on end, you don't see signs and the manifestation of God's power at work in the church, then evidently and ultimately the congregation will grow weary. That's why churches close. That's why churches have to close the building. Because ultimately, over a long period of time, they were not able to tangibly see evidence and signs of God at work in their church. So we see that even through God at work in the church, we find a sense of rest and reinvigoration and inspiration because we see the hand of God at work in the life of the church. I know I pray each day that as we continue to serve the mission of Christ, that we will continue to see God's power at work in the life of this church. May souls be saved. May lives be changed. May bodies be healed. We want to see God at work in the life of the church. You ever notice when there's baptisms, the mood around the place shifts? You name it. Any baptism Sunday, I guarantee you, there's a different sense of expectation in the house. You know why? Because we see God at work in the life of someone who was lost in sin. But now they have come to know Jesus Christ for themselves and they make that public declaration of faith and it not only inspires them who go into the pool, but it lifts the whole church. Because that is the reason why we are here, to see souls and lives changed. So, oh Lord, we pray, continue to be at work. Continue to work through your people so that we can see more people come to know you. More lives to be changed. So rest not only comes through the stillness, the solitary place, but rest also comes through being actively engaged in the ministry and the mission of Christ. So I want to make that call today, just like Jesus. You may be saying, Nathan, I don't know if I can find the time in my life to volunteer to serve in the church. Where am I going to find the time? I want to encourage you again to pray about it over the course of this summer. And as we head into September, by the will of the Lord, it's going to get very busy around here come September. And we're going to need all hands on deck. Won't you consider serving? Get involved, roll the sleeves up. And even if you physically can't do that, why don't you consider just talking to one of the group leaders and saying, what can I pray about? How can I pray for the work in which you are doing? Because we're all in this together. This past Friday, as I'm getting married in a few weeks, the groomsmen, they decided to take me out for my stag. And I was concerned because my brother was in charge. And they hadn't informed me about what they had planned for me. So I'm worried, and my mum's worried. My mum's making calls to my older brother. Now listen, you take care of my baby son. But you know, and Anna will tell you, I was a little bit weary this week and saying, I really don't feel like it, you know. Really don't feel like it. But you know, even through the adventure of the stag, it was so just reinvigorating for me. Just to be able to spend some time with some guys and to be able to talk and to be able to get advice about marriage. And Anna said to me, well, what did they say? I said, that's between us. What goes on in the man cave stays in the man cave. But I want to encourage you today. Sometimes we get like that. I just don't feel like it. I don't have the time. I don't feel like doing this. Pray again. Ask the Lord. Lord, if it's your will, help me to give me the strength to do it. And in doing the work of the Lord, you'll often find that there's a blessing in serving. And God can bless you even with rest when you feel weary. Even, yes, when you have to roll those sleeves up again and be actively involved in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I sense very strongly in prayer that you are going to do great things amongst us. You are going to use this church in a mighty way, all for your glory and for your honor. You're going to do things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men and women, the good things that you have prepared for your people. But Lord, I pray that you would inspire our hearts now to trust you even when we're weary. To trust you even when we're wondering, well, how are we going to resource the vision? How are we going to carry this out? We don't have the man or the woman power to do it. But I believe you are going to reveal your perfect plan and you are going to mobilize us to action, to roll our sleeves up and to be actively engaged in the mission that you have prepared for your church. So, Lord, we pray now that just like the disciples in Mark 6 who were weary and tired through the work of ministry, I pray that even if we have to roll the sleeves up again in those moments, I pray that you would bless us, strengthen us for the work ahead so that we will find joy and peace and yes, even rest, even through serving. Yes, Lord, we recognize the need for balance. There are times when we need to stop. We need to sit down. But yes, even through times of serving and being engaged in the ministry, we can find rest and joy and fulfillment. A joy that this world could never give us because we're serving your mission and your vision. So would you bless your people now? And inspire us, just like you did the disciples, that we can be a part of a great miracle, whether it's feeding the 5,000, not counting the women or the children, whether it's responding to the needs of our society today. You will always equip your church so that we can be the light and the salt of this earth. So bless us now, we pray, that we may find joy and peace and rest, even through serving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. As the worship team and Kuda come back, we're going to return to song as we sing a great call to action hymn. Stand up for Jesus.
We can always use you in youth service and Sunday school. There's always a need. If you've never tried it out, honestly, the young people, they lighten your mood. They make you think. They really challenge us. Whatever age we're at, it's always a great ministry to work in. So come and give it a go. And Jesus has stood up for us. Jesus has he's laid down his life. He's done everything and he's fed us today. So what we can do in answer to that is to stand up and stand up for Jesus. I love the last line that we're going to sing. We're going to sing verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then we're going to go back to verse 1. And the last line says, Christ is Lord indeed. So take that away with you. I think it's rousing, this one. Get you standing up again and get you invigorated for the week ahead. So God bless you.
Please do join us in the lounge for teas and for coffees and for fellowship. Everything is solved now in terms of the water. So I believe that it's all systems go for teas and coffees this morning. Just one final notice for you all, because we have had some inquiries regarding this. Regarding the wedding, just to reiterate again, everyone is invited to both days. Okay, so everyone is invited to both days. Saturday we're here from 2 o'clock for the blessing, and our former minister, Reverend Chris Hughes, is going to be with us, and he's going to be leading that service, and Richard Sills will be leading worship. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to have fellowship after. There'll also be opportunities for any of you, if you want to come and say something, you can do so, and it will be a really, really good time, and then we'll have food after. And then on the Tuesday, again, everyone is welcome to be here for the wedding ceremony from 12 noon. Now, one final thing regarding the Tuesday, again, if you would like to have reserved seating downstairs, then please do come and see me or Bev, so that we're going to finalize the names this week, so that we have ample seating for those who will struggle to go upstairs. Expecting the house to be quite full on that Tuesday, and downstairs will be a lot of family and friends. But we want to make sure for those who would struggle to go upstairs that we have a comfortable space for you down here. So please do, if we've got a pool of names already, but just in case we've missed anyone out, please do come and speak to us. If you would struggle to go upstairs and you'd like reserved seating down here, we'll make sure that you are nice and comfortable on Tuesday. All right? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time of worship. Thank you for CUDA and the worship team for leading us today in worship. And we thank you, Lord, that you are calling us even to find rest through serving. That as we are actively engaged doing the work that you have entrusted to us, that even though, like the disciples, we may grow weary in doing so, we can find rest to know that we are doing your perfect will. So, Lord, as we leave this place to continue to do the work that you have called us to do, we pray that we would not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap a harvest where if we faint not. So help us now as we go, but never from your presence. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.